Service is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media
and the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors, even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Is this thing on? Is this thing on? Check. You'd have to be tuning in yesterday to know why I'm doing that. Welcome to the Hamilton Corner, everybody. My name is Abraham Hamilton III. I am the host of the program, joined by the Corner Contingent. Right across from me, my man, 100 grand, Mr. Bobby Rosa. And in the screening room, producer extraordinaire, often imitated, never duplicated. Shit. Real J Mac. Is he crying? The real J Mac, ladies and gentlemen. You know, the little technical difficulty we had yesterday was none of our teammates. We had some engineering assistance that was needed. But we're back on and ready to go with today's edition of the program at this very moment. Many of you, if not most of you, are making your transition from your part-time jobs where you generate an income to your full-time jobs where you cultivate an outcome. And as you do so, I want to remind you to do so with intentionality. You know, I was thinking about this this morning and last night. What greater cause is there to sacrifice for if not our children? You know, we move heaven and earth for all kinds of things that we've identified as priorities. But when it comes to our children, sometimes we accept justifications. And I would never attempt to intrude upon anybody's jurisdiction or to intrude upon your homes. You know what's going on with it within your homes. But what I have found is that in many instances where some people might tell me, you know, Abe, I hear you talking about discipling your children in the home and not co-parenting with the government and, you know, leaving, as Dr. Vody Bakum would say, Pastor Bakum would say, Caesar, to cultivate the minds of your children. But we just can't do it. And I know we have all kind of life circumstances. I mean, there was a time in my life, in my wife and I's lives together, married, where we couldn't afford to become HSLDA members. We had to set it as a goal to pursue down the line. And as we set that goal, we were able to become lifetime members. This is long before I was ever a member of the board of directors for HSLDA. But at that time, I was an attorney. I was practicing law, very comfortable with going to court. So I didn't want to become a member for my own benefit. I wanted to be a member to pass it, kind of pay it forward for other families to have the comfort and the confidence to know that if you have any problems with any governmental entity, you'd have the legal muscle to back you. But we sacrifice for the things that are important to us. That's just the bottom line. I tell you guys all the time, growing up in the hood, you know, people were poor, but guess what? People got what they would think that was most important to them. That's why we all say you should go to the projects to try to see the newest cars and things, because those things were important to people. That's just the truth. So I just would say to prayerfully consider, and I know there are lots of variables that contribute to this. Sometimes you have one spouse that's willing to do it, another spouse is not on board. But what is more important than sacrificing for our children? What is more important? So as you're making your way from your part-time jobs to your full-time jobs, understanding if you're in the life stage where you have young children in your home, guys, you know it flies by. It flies by. I'm having whiplash. You know, I had two of my boys in studio with me yesterday. Bobby saw my oldest son. He's like, hey, Abe, you ain't have boys no more. You heard that voice. Hey, how you doing, Mr. Bob? He's like, what is going on? Boy, I got hair on his chin and everything. You know? What's more important than that, man? What's more important than that? We must batten down the hatches at home. The first line, if you will, for kingdom engagement for young people born into the family of Christian parents are the parents. The first line. And we will either be runways for our children to come to know the Lord or obstacle courses. They're going to have to sidestep our demonstrations in order to come to know the Lord. Or We could be runways, pave a smooth path by God's grace. It's not easy, no doubt about it. It does entail sacrifice, but can you tell me anything that doesn't entail sacrifice? I'll never forget finishing law school. I had great counsel from a legal mentor. Said, Abe, give the bar exam the respect it deserves. It took sacrifice. I had to study 12 hours a day, 6 days a week for the first bar exam I passed. Yes, it was a sacrifice, but I'm looking beyond this temporary sacrifice for the benefit that I'm seeking to procure. Anything worth attaining, worth accomplishing, is going to require sacrifice. Anything. Where are our priorities? To the Word of God we go. Ezekiel chapter 11 is where I want to go today. By way of reminder, Ezekiel was a lineage, a priest who during the Babylonian exile, the Lord moved him to serve in a prophetic function to the exiles in Babylon. And what we're going to delve into today is a portion of a revelation that God gave to him that I find to be particularly poignant in light of the things that are happening in our country and some of the things we discussed yesterday, you know, like 274 plainclothes FBI agents that just happened to be in the crowd on January 6, 2020. It just took over 4.5 years for us to learn that. Ain't that something? You know, you got James Comey the Clown being indicted. He should be the first of a long line of miscreants who use their official positions to work against the United States of America and, more importantly, her people. Her people. In Ezekiel chapter 11, verses 1 and 2, I want you to see something. This is what the scripture says. Moreover, the Spirit lifted me up. This is the Spirit lifting up Ezekiel. Moreover, the Spirit lifted me up and brought me to the east gate of the Lord's house, which faced eastward. And behold, there were 25 men at the entrance of the gate. Among them, I saw Jezaniah, the son of Azur, and Pelatiah, the son of Benaiah, leaders of the people. He, referring to the Spirit, said to me, Son of man, these are the men who devise iniquity and give evil advice in this city. These are the men who devise iniquity and give evil advice in this city. One of the big lifts in my own formation and development, well, I would study things like The Hope of the Wicked, that's the name of a book, and reading G. Edward Griffin's The Creature from Jekyll Island concerning the history of the Federal Reserve, and learning things in the reality of evil people, let me say it better, evil operating in high places in our nation almost overwhelmed me. It was hard to look at. I would have to read these books, study these historical pieces, and those are just a snapshot. Tragedy and hope, all of these things. And I'm like, wow, guys, Lord, this is what it looks like when you said that they're evil in high places. There are some people who are, I would call them spiritual useful idiots, that they don't necessarily know that they're the agents of evil, but there are some who do. In this portion of scripture, the Lord gives Ezekiel a prophetic revelation, prophetic insight to identify 25 men, only names a couple of them. Only names a couple of them, but they're 25 men who the Lord shows by his Spirit to Ezekiel that these are men who devise iniquity. One of them, Peltier, the son of Benaiah. Peltier's name means the Lord delivers, and his father Benaiah's name means the Lord builds. What's communicated to us here, these are people who are supposed to be advocates for righteousness in the positions that they're in. But instead of being advocates for righteousness, the Spirit of God reveals to Ezekiel that these are men who devise iniquity. Brothers and sisters, I know it's hard to hear, but in our own nation, we are experiencing the tangible evidence of people who devise iniquity. There are people in our nation, like as the show goes on, I'm going to go in, for example, this latest government shutdown talk. There's people talking about the shutdown, but do you know what it's really about? There are lots of other details, but the top line issue that has caused this standoff between Republicans and Democrats in Congress, do you know what it is? We'll get into it. When you find out what it is, many of you are going to be spitting mad. Spitting mad. But as Maya Angelou once said, when people tell you who they are, believe them. Believe them. Brothers and sisters, as hard as it may be to stomach, it is no doubt that there are people who devise iniquity. These are people who set out plots to gain access to positions of influence in our society, and their ultimate objective is evil. Many of them know it, guys. Many of them know it. Many of them know it. But they work feverishly to reformat what is clearly evil, into something else. Like, for example, there's this cartoon, and a number of them. Another one on Netflix. The Obamas are the executive producers of it. Supposed to be a show that's dedicated to seven-year-olds. What are they doing? Advocating for transgenderism for children. Talking about how wonderful it is, how great it is, how fantastic it is. Guys, this is evil. This is evil. You got, you know, the British Prime Minister Keir Starmer talking about digital ID. And when you talk about devising evil, this dude had the responsibility of enforcing the laws at a prosecutorial level before he got into the parliament. And now he's a British Prime Minister. And every point along the way, he has advocated for open borders policies in England. At every step. At every step. And now this joker has the audacity to come out and say, hey, I know some of you are concerned about illegal immigration. This is why you need to take digital ID. Like, really? So the whole time you've been advocating for digital ID, and then you have these parliamentarians are saying, yes, and this is going to help us with the workforce to make sure illegals are not able to get jobs in our country. We have other persons saying, time out, don't we already have, because we have this single-payer healthcare system, don't we already have this national insurance number that you can only get if you're an English citizen? If you're here, we can't use that to make sure we'll have illegals getting jobs? We'll have a bunch of other things that we already have as citizens that illegals don't have to make sure we can work? And they keep with the lie, and they keep repeating. They repeat the lie long enough and repeat it over and over again, and you have their sycophants in the government media that are willing to go along with it. I'll give you another one. The people that decry, oh, this Christian nationalism. Well, what would you prefer? Nobody is on here trying to establish a theocracy, but I'm a Christian. And yeah, you know, I think it's more important to clean up in my own house before I go to anybody else's house. So if you want to call me a nationalist, that's cool. But what would you prefer? Oh, would you rather an atheistic globalist? Is that what you prefer? You know, would you rather have a godless preference for we are the world? When people charge you with that, respond to that. So would you prefer me to be an atheistic globalist, or even more, a demonic globalist? What's wrong with me being a Christ follower who loves the nation that God has planted me in pursuant to Acts chapter 17? Why is that a problem? Because, guys, there are people who devise evil. They know it's not a problem. But they want you to think it's a problem, so you succumb to the propaganda and enable the pilfering of your own nation, your own commitment, even a perversion of your own theology. To get you to take the light as opposed to put on a lampstand, to intimidate you, to put Christ, the light of Christ, under a bushel, so that you refuse to enter the fray of the public square and be salt and light for the glory of God, and remember this, for the betterment of your neighbor. The command that we live by, and there are two, as Jesus encapsulated for us, that we love the Lord with all that we are if we're Christ followers. And we love our neighbors as ourselves. You know what's best for neighbors as well? to have husbands and wives who are married and love each other and they raise their children together. That's better for our neighbors just as much as it's good for us.
A Discipleship Minute with Joseph Parker.
The Word of God is the sword of the Spirit, according to Ephesians 6:17. Every disciple of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ needs to be a diligent student of the Word of God. We would be wise to continually learn more about the spiritual weapons found in the Word of God. We must continually learn more about how to do battle with every spiritual weapon, because spiritual conflict is not something we deal with from only time to time. We encounter spiritual warfare every day and everywhere we go. When we put these spiritual weapons to work, we're building up the kingdom of God. Also, as we use these weapons, we're doing battle against the kingdom of darkness. Some people may think, I don't like the idea of having to deal with spiritual warfare. Well, like it or not, we face it every day of our lives. Let's be faithful to be kingdom warriors who know how to take some of the weapons we have in the Word of God and use them to walk in victory daily.
Shining light into the darkness, this is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner. Abraham Hamilton III here. I want to pull up, Jeff, because I think I played yesterday Keir Starmer's announcement of digital ID. I want to show his post on the artist formerly known as Twitter, you know, to illustrate exactly what I'm talking about. This dude was an open borders, and as soon as you have it up, just go ahead and throw it up there. An open borders politician. At every stage, he was a prosecutor who refused to deal with illegal immigrants who were committing crime, especially Muslim immigrants in the UK. At each step of his journey, he was an open borders politician. Now as British Prime Minister, he advocated and supported open borders policies. And now, while he's announcing that every British citizen is required to have a digital ID, and immediately, like, it's not like they're going to have a run-up, like, pretty soon to the end of the year, that you got to have it. This joker posted, look, it's on the screen if you're watching the show. If you're listening to the podcast or you're listening on the radio, this is what Keir Starmer posted. Quote, I know you're worried about the level of illegal migration into this country. Digital ID is another measure to make it tougher to work here, to work illegally here, making our borders more secure. There's one more line in this post. When has Keir Starmer ever wanted to make the borders more secure in Britain? When? And then he ends his post, back to the post, quote, ours is a fairer Britain built on change, not division, end quote. So, you know, it's because of something that went down July 4th, 1776, and what happened thereafter has made it so I don't have to keep up with what's going on in Britain. But I didn't know. Put the post back up there real quick, Jeff. I didn't know that Britain was based on change. That's what it's based on. Did y'all see that? Britain built on change. That's what it's built on. Excuse me. Not only him, you have other parliamentarians that are equally, I would argue, that fall into the category of what Ezekiel recorded as those in positions of authority that devise iniquity. You have British parliamentarian Lisa Nandy. She's on TV saying, hey, listen, the Brits, you have to do it. You got to get this digital ID. Won't make you. You might not have to show it, but you got to do it because it's going to make it easier to verify your right to work. Right to work. Clip number two. Clip two, Jeff and Bobby, go.
The major benefit of digital ID, of course, is that it makes it far easier for employers to check whether somebody has the right to work here. So for people who come here and want to work, it will be compulsory to show it. For all other UK citizens, it will be compulsory to have it, but not to show it. People will be able to choose whether they use it or not. But we think for a lot of people, you know, me included, who spend a lot of time digging out utility bills and national insurance numbers and copies of passports to prove verification in lots of different ways, that this will have a big benefit as well.
A big benefit. It's going to have a big benefit as well.
Can't find my national insurance number.
Yeah, national insurance number and all that. And why am I doing this, guys? Because you have to understand, this is a predecessor for central bank digital currencies. This is a predecessor in the West of, you know, the social credit score in China. And it's interesting that all of this is unfolding all around the world at the same time. Gee, I wonder why. I wonder if there's this entity that has kind of this Agenda 2030. Oh, yeah, that's right. The World Economic Forum. So they're kicking this in Britain like digital ID is limited to the employment context. It's going to make things better. When the reality is, go ahead and put this image up for the people, Mr. McIntosh, that you can see that the true objective of utilization of digital ID, just so you can know. Because, guys, it's only a matter of the things that are happening in England. There are many people in our own nation who are pining for the very same thing to happen here. So you can see on the screen, healthcare at the top in the center of the screen. They want to use digital identity for healthcare purposes for users to access insurance, treatment to monitor health devices, wearables for care providers to demonstrate their qualifications. Oh, what's next? Oh, financial services. Financial services to open bank accounts, carry out online financial transactions, almost like, well, Mr. Rosa, you've eaten enough filet mignon this week. Your digital ID card will no longer work to allow you to purchase any more steak because you've had enough. You and your lovely bride, as wonderful as she is, you've had enough. No need for you to purchase anymore. Then what's next? Oh, yeah, food and sustainability. Digital ID will be used for farmers and consumers to verify provenance of produce, to enhance value and traceability in supply chains. Oh, and what's next? Travel and mobility. To book trips and to go through border control between countries and regions, you have to have this digital ID. Now, I remember reading somewhere, it's a book, it's an ancient text though, Bobby. I remember there was something along the lines that said that, unless you had this particular identification, you wouldn't be able to buy or sell. Where did I remember seeing that? I mean, I'm not saying his name is Mark. But it sure is feeling kind of beastie. Oh, there's more. Don't worry. Humanitarian response to access services to demonstrate qualifications to work in a foreign country. Oh, e-commerce to shop, to conduct business transactions, and to secure payments. Social platforms. Oh, you like to be on the social medias. Not unless you have this digital ID. Social platforms for social interactions to access third-party services that rely on social media logins. E-government for citizens to access and use services, you know, like filing taxes, maybe even to vote, maybe even to collect benefits. You're on Social Security? No, you're not. If you don't have your digital ID, you can't do it. Oh, telecommunications for users to own and use devices, for service providers to monitor devices. Oh, did I read that right? For users to own and use devices, for service providers to monitor devices and data on the network, and, of course, telecommunications to monitor devices and sensor. Does anybody else see what I'm seeing? This is for control. This is for control. Brits are saying, we don't need digital ID to identify illegal aliens from British citizens. We already have stuff that we can do if that's what we want to accomplish, if that's what we're trying to accomplish. We already have stuff ready for that. But you got Kyra Stormer saying, no, don't believe your lying eyes. You know, you're concerned about illegal immigration. We fixed it, you see? You guys were concerned. Y'all were concerned. We fixed it, you see? Digital ID. And once again, you have your people that are saying, guys, it's no different from the way the Federal Reserve Act was sold here in America. The Federal Reserve Act, which was passed in 1913 after the previous efforts in 1910 failed, by the way, they had a different name for the measure, had not done the groundwork to tenderize the culture to accept it. But one of the things they did to advocate for the Federal Reserve Act in terms of it being accepted popularly is that they sold American people that this will make banking stable. So we will no longer have to worry about instability in commerce. And what happened soon after the Federal Reserve Act was adopted? Oh, nothing big, just the Great Depression. the greatest economic downturn in American history to date, followed the establishment of the Federal Reserve, which at its very instance already had plans to remove the United States of America from the gold standard, but they just took their time working toward accomplishing that objective. My simple point here, folks, to highlight this and that image, this is a publicly available image I provided for you. This was drawn from the documentation used to discuss digital ID in Britain. And guess where it came from, the original source? The World Economic Forum. Yeah, no, that same forum that coined the expression Build Back Better, that became a certain candidate for president's campaign slogan. Remember what that was? I ain't saying his name is Mark, but sure is feeling kind of beastie. I share this with you guys to bring this to your attention, to watch the Hegelian dialectic on display. Kyle Stormer has been an open borders advocate for the entirety of his public life, and now he's concerned about illegal immigration. If you believe that, I got an igloo for sale. You know, this is absurd. Since we're already on the subject, you want to talk about deception? Because I said this whole government shutdown thing, do you know what the real cause of it is? And of course, there's some ancillary details all work out. But you know what the top line objection is, where the Democrats are standing off with the Republicans? The top line threshold issue is that the Democrats in Congress are fighting to extend a higher threshold for health care subsidies originally passed as part of legislation to combat the COVID-19 pandemic. Let me explain what I mean. You remember they had this whole debate in America in Bernie Sanders, we need single-payer health care. We need single-payer health care. You know, remember how that was a drum roll? Remember she should never be president before she ever ran for president when her big deal when she was the missus to Bill Clinton, remember? Her thing was, what was it? Healthcare. Remember that? Mm-hmm. And so the big debate back then, single-payer healthcare, that's what we need in America. I'm telling you guys, Hegelian on display. And then Barack Obama comes to the scene like a knight in shining armor. Lord, have the solution for you. If you like your doctor, you can keep it. Want to drive healthcare costs down. But for those who want a public option, we want to have a public option available for them. Which, by the way, translation, what is a public option? Cause American taxpayers to pay their taxes, and they either have their own health insurance that includes a portion of your premiums that are going towards these subsidies for Obamacare, or you pay a tax penalty. Either way it goes, you're going to pay money into other people. Ever heard of this phrase, redistribution of wealth? You are going to pay money so that people who are less materially well off, who are poorer, they can still have health insurance. That's the whole scheme, right? President Trump said he wanted to repeal it in his first term, didn't get to repeal it. They tried to pass the skinny repeal. Remember that? And John McCain shut that down. Remember that? Remember all of these things? So Obamacare never went anywhere. The only thing that happened was the Trump administration was able to zero out the tax penalty. But if you listen to this show, I told you, a zeroed-out tax penalty doesn't change the fact that Obamacare is still on the books. Which brings us to today's conversation. The issue right now is that Obamacare created these subsidies. What these subsidies are payments taken from U.S. taxpayers that are utilized to pay for health insurance for those who are within certain range of the poverty level, as determined by the Congressional Budget Office. And these subsidies exist to offset the cost for health care premiums. When initially passed, Obamacare limited those subsidies by income. All right? So how much you get in subsidies will be determined by your income. Offering the top level subsidies, the premium subsidies, which means you get the most amount of taxpayer dollars for people whose incomes fell between 100 and 400% of the poverty level. Then those who were not as impoverished as those people, they then had at the next level, you had cost sharing subsidies to those with incomes at 100% to 250% of the poverty level. So those up to 400% of the poverty level, they got the premium subsidies, which means that they paid nothing for their health insurance. For those at the next level, they had to pay a little bit, which, let's be candid about what that was, it ranged generally from about $27 to $50 a month for these people. Well, what happened in 2021, Joe Biden's administration lobbied for and ultimately Congress passed the American Rescue Plan. The American Rescue Plan temporarily lifted the income thresholds for the top level of subsidies. All right, the premium level of subsidies. So you know what? We're going to make it more readily available. You know, the American Rescue Plan. And then it reduced the amount of premium payments for some enrollees at that next level, for those who are paying some toward their own coverage. And then with the additional step, entirely eliminating any buy-in for those whose incomes fell below 150% of the poverty line. You see what I'm saying? So Obamacare created the subsidies in the first place related to income. Under the Biden administration, in light of COVID, it eliminated a lot of the buy-in for some people, lowered the amounts others paid, and expanded the quantity of people that paid zero premiums for their health insurance. Following the American Rescue Plan Act, the Inflation Reduction Act of 2022 expanded these additional subsidies, the new binary subsidies, all the way to this year, 2025. Those subsidies are set to expire this year. And I would add in for you that what the Biden era expansion of the Obamacare subsidies did is that it extended the applicability of these subsidies to illegal aliens. The Republicans are literally saying, nah, we're not renewing these subsidies. The Democrats are saying we need to make the Biden expansion of the Obamacare subsidies permanent. Some of y'all are like, Abe, that's it? That's it. That's really what it is. Oh, I'm getting into the numbers after this. Bobby says, that's $1.5 trillion. Oh, no, I know it. And also, the net effect of this, making these expanded Obamacare subsidies permanent, is that it moves our nation further toward a single-payer health system. Because it would end up in 3 million additional people losing their private insurance. Premiums continue to go up for people with private insurance, which has the net effect of driving even more people into Obamacare, which you'll find exploded as a result of the Biden-era subsidies. It's a sleight of hand, which began with Obamacare, that now the Democrats are trying to seize on this moment to move us closer to a single-payer healthcare system, just like the Brits, just like Canada. That's what this government shutdown talk is all about.
When you hear this,
this is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at afn.net. And sign up for our daily news brief at afn.net. Some Christians wonder if boycotting businesses is really biblical, and that's a fair question. Ed Vitagliano and M.D. Perkins address that subject in depth in the AFA Cultural Institute video, Stewardship in Action, The Power of the Boycott. They share the purpose of boycotts and show how they can impact the culture. We're giving that DVD to you free as our thanks for supporting AFA this month. Go to AFA.net today for more details. AFA.net.
Forgiving your husband's murderer. This is David Wheaton, host of The Christian Worldview. The Charlie Kirk Memorial Service was remarkable with the repeated proclamation of the gospel of Christ and for what Charlie's widow Erica said.
On the cross, our Savior said, Father, forgive them, for they not know what they do. That young man, I forgive him.
This is very hard, but for the believer, how can we not forgive when God has immensely more forgiven us? Hear a most recent program on the Charlie Kirk Memorial Service at thechristianworldview.org, and then tune in this weekend for another topic that will sharpen your worldview.
Listen to The Christian Worldview with David Wheaton, Saturday mornings at 8 Central on American Family Radio.
The Hamilton Quarter podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net. Back to The Hamilton Quarter on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to The Hamilton Corner. Guys, listen, this is what I do. This is why I'm here for you. These people are not going to tell you that this is what they're arguing for in terms of this government shutdown, but that's what it is. And they want to have the extended subsidies under the Biden administration to be made permanent and to allow them to be received by illegal aliens. Prior to the Biden era subsidies, the number of people who enrolled in Obamacare was pretty stable. 13.7 million people drew a subsidy in 2019. Now, y'all know if you've been following the show, I opposed Obamacare from the very beginning, all right? In 2025, the number of people who received subsidies under Obamacare pretty much doubled to 26.7 million people in the first quarter of 2025 alone. Mm-hmm. The Congressional Budget Office estimates that extending these subsidies permanently would result in what I told you already, a 3 million drop in private insurers, in terms of people who have insurance privately. But what's going to happen with those 3 million people? Oh, will they end up in the Obamacare exchanges? It'll cost $1.5 trillion to the American taxpayers. And an additional 6.9 million people are estimated to join Obamacare when they receive an average annual subsidy of over $5,000. Guys, the whole objective here is to try to fulfill Bernie Sanders' vision from a long time ago to create a single-payer healthcare system in the United States of America. That was the goal when Obamacare was first adopted. They literally concluded, we'll take Obamacare now. And just like the Federal Reserve Act, we know the gold standard being removed from our currency and removed to fiat currency is where we want to go. But we know the American people aren't ready for that just yet. So let's get this in the works and we'll move little by little to the place. And then when they're ready for it, then we'll do it. This is why you had Richard Nixon, when he finally did it, removing America the gold standard, he lamented that he felt like he had just sold his country down the drain. And extending these benefits to illegal aliens is a key component of the Democrats' argument. But you know, there was a time when this kind of stuff wasn't merely a Republican conversation. You had people like Chuck Schumer, you know, the one who's leading the negotiations for the Democrats right now and the one who is responsible for the Democrats threatening a shutdown right now. Well, in 1996, when he was little, Chucky Duck, you know, Chucky Duck, quack, quack, you know, he had a different approach. You don't have to take my word for it. Listen to and watch Chuck Schumer, in his own words from 1996, opposing the idea of providing taxpayer-funded benefits to illegal aliens. Clip number 5, go.
This is an anti-fraud amendment. All over where we go, people say, well, why can't you stop illegal immigrants or others from coming here? And the number one answer we give our constituents is when they come here, they can get jobs, get benefits against the law because of fraud. And here, the gentleman from Florida has put together the most effective anti-fraud measure we can find without it changing the actions of the government one bit. And we find all this opposition. Ladies and gentlemen of this chamber, what I worry about is that this bill, which started out with good intentions, whether you agree with it or disagree with it, is going to end up being the same kind of thing that the public gets angry with us on. We say we're doing something, and we do nothing. Because every time someone makes a rational and small proposal to get something done, people say, well, what about this hypothetical, that hypothetical, etc. I urge support of this amendment if you believe you want to stop fraud in immigration, you have no choice but to support this amendment.
That's what Young Chuck used to sound like, you know. Now he's the main one leading the, guess we'll shut it down. It's just. And I say this, and again, highlighting the scripture from Ezekiel, people that are sitting in positions of influence, devising iniquity. Why don't most of the American people know that this is what the fight is all about? Why? Like, if you talk to your friends and your loved ones and your family members, you say, what? They're talking about a shutdown. What is it? What are they arguing about? If we had a journalist wing with integrity, every American citizen would know what I just shared with you. But no. What they're depending upon, meaning those who are the agents of evil in Congress, they are depending upon their co-belligerents in the media to give them cover so the usual talking points of another Republican shutdown are used to pressure the Republicans to do what they know they would never have voted for, because the Republicans completely objected to the Biden-era expansion of the subsidies in the first place. Not one Republican voted for it. But now they're going to use the leverage of a government shutdown, or attempt to use the leverage of a government shutdown, to get Republicans to do what they had already expressed they were unwilling to do. I mean, while I'm talking about it, you remember Joe Biden himself used to be against illegal immigration. Remember that? When he was a senator. My point in all of this, guys, is for you to see not just what are the partisan perspectives on these things, but to rightly employ discernment to diagnose chicanery and wickedness. Then you have this. It was sad to see how many people were wringing their hands. Oh, Pete Hegseth is summoning all of the generals from all over the world to Quantico. What is going on? What? He got everybody in one room for one reason. He said, hey, there's a new sheriff's in town. This whole deal of using the American military as a social experiment to advance the latest regressive orthodoxy of the day, that's over. That's over. And then there are a lot of people upset about his comments about having the warfighters meet a physical fitness standard, a male standard for warfighting. And that has a lot of people upset. We're like, look, if you and I are military, just because you're a general, you shouldn't be rolling around with the top of your pants looking like fruit roll-ups because they're folding under your belly. How are you going to lead and inspire our warfighters when you are the physical embodiment of disinterest in warfighting? Fair? Listen to Pete Hegseth, clip number 6. Go.
Today, at my direction, each service will ensure that every requirement for every combat MOS, for every designated combat arms position, returns to the highest male standard only. Because this job is life or death. Standards must be met. And not just met, at every level, we should seek to exceed the standard, to push the envelope, to compete. It's common sense. And core to who we are and what we do, it should be in our DNA. Today, at my direction, we are also adding a combat field test for combat arms units that must be executable in any environment at any time and with combat equipment. These tests, they'll look familiar. They'll resemble the Army Expert Physical Fitness Assessment or the Marine Corps Combat Fitness Test. I'm also directing that warfighters in combat jobs execute their service fitness test at a gender-neutral, age-normed male standard scored above 70%.
Well, you have people completely losing it over this. And he said it when he was first nominated to the position. If we are going to have a military whose responsibility is war fighting, shouldn't we be capable of fighting wars? And this is the thing that I want you to recognize. And he said it in his speech. He said, listen, me communicating the standards we're going to have and not trying to exclude women, if they can meet this standard, they can meet the standard. It's also going to eliminate weak men from participating because they can't meet the standard. But I want you to be able to zoom out and recognize is that what Pete is driving at a worldview level, the undergirding notion is that God has made men and women distinct from one another. There's a reason why men have differences in bone density and musculature. Okay? There's a reason for that. There's a physical reality in terms of how God made his image bearers that one is clearly designed more for the protection function than the other. It's not saying that there are not roles and other capacity, but in what world will we want to put our women on the front lines in kinetic warfare? Understand now you got people that are they're doing, you know, video games using drones. You got people in Nevada dropping bombs in other countries and all that kind of stuff. I get all of that. But we're talking about kinetic war fighting. And I'm grateful that he's willing to say what should not be the quiet part out loud is that men and women are different. We understand that. This is not a slight to anybody. But I'm sorry, I can tell you, the best WNBA team couldn't be the high school all-star team in boys basketball. I'm just telling you the truth. One of the primary reasons why is that you're not going to have a team full of women that's 6'10", 6'11", 7 feet with a 38 to 40 inch vertical. That's just the reality. The balls that we use are different sizes. The women's balls are smaller. There's a reason for that. When it comes to certain aspects of physicality, there's a difference between men and women. And one of the main areas where that difference should be recognized and respected is in warfighting. So what I want you to recognize as in full view of Ezekiel 11, that there are men in high places that advocate for wickedness. Guys, it's wicked and insidious to assert that maleness and femaleness are mutually interchangeable. Because it's not. It's not. That's just the reality. And so Pete Hegseth's speech, the reason why there's such a visceral reaction, because the wickedness is prevalent in our culture, that the sycophants to the spirit of the age, they want mankind to be reduced to an androgynous, indecipherable amalgamation of human goo. They want a society that embraces the idea that maleness and femaleness, no matter, interchangeable parts. They want a society, no longer will we say fathers and mothers, happy Father's Day, happy Mother's Day. No, we need parent one and parent two. No longer will we say happy Mother's Day. No, because we have pregnant people. We want, the spirit of the age wants a society that says that, you know, well, men can get pregnant. And it's absurd. It's absurd. And that is why you have the visceral reactions. That's why. So to say, hey guys, if you can't get with this program, it might be time for you to find a new occupation.
Even by enforcing these new standards, all the services are far exceeding their goals.
Yeah. So look, in the studio, right on the screen, even with the new standards, all the services are far exceeding the recruiting goals. That shouldn't be surprising, guys. And so
they want to be part of a winner.
And what I want you to recognize, guys, is that the way to facilitate having the appropriate lethality in our fighting forces is to understand God's design at a fundamental level, at a baseline level. It is not illuminated or erudite or metropolitan and complex and forward thinking for you to get basic biology wrong and to act as if the differences between men and women have no real world application. That's absurd. So at every point, and this is a part of the challenge of being ambassadors of Christ, at every point we have an obligation to love the truth, adhere to the truth, and to live the truth, to refuse to live according to a lie. You are entitled to your delusions. You have a constitutionally protected right to your delusions, but you cannot compel me to live by them. And for those who would try to use the type of conversation concluding condescension, well, you must be a Christian nationalist. Would you prefer I be a demonic globalist, sir? Would you prefer an agnostic globalist? Would you prefer an atheistic globalist? Time is short, man. We must be about our Father's business. And the beauty that we have access to is that if you are in Christ, you have the privilege of living life from heaven down. That eternal reality illuminates our temporal engagement. If you are not yet a member of God's eternal family, look what's going on around you. The word of God is true. Heaven is real. So is hell.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.